As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzine with you on an early Thursday morning. Here we've got a great show planned. Blue Jackets forward Oliver Bjorkstrand is our guest today. He's off to a great start this season, playing a bigger role than he's ever played. And we'll talk to him about his great start, the team's great start. We'll also talk to him about playing in the Olympics, which is a first for Denmark's men's hockey team. And we'll take some of your questions via Twitter. Before we get to Ollie, get some news and notes from around the NHL and the Blue Jackets, mostly the Blue Jackets. Blue Jackets off to, as I said, terrific 7-3-0 start, matching a franchise record. That's the most wins they've had through the first 10 games of a season. It gets a little more interesting than that, though. They've won three straight games, all of them after trailing through two periods. So at some point in the third period of each of their last three games, they have trailed, and they've won all three. Now, that may not sound like a big deal. That just doesn't happen very often. It's never happened in team history that they've won three games in a row after trailing at some point in the third period. The NHL record for consecutive games like that is four. We're talking over 100 years. So I don't think the Blue Jackets will set their sights on getting that record or matching that record necessarily Friday when they play the New York Rangers. They'd rather just have – or sorry, the Washington Capitals. They'd rather just have a more of a textbook approach, maybe get a nice early lead and ride it out. But it's pretty wild what this team has done. We're taking a deeper dive look at that in a story that should be posted Thursday afternoon or Friday morning. Other news and notes with the Blue Jackets, Jake Voracek missed Tuesday's practice with a non-COVID illness. Can't stress that enough. The Blue Jackets were off on Wednesday, so no indication yet if he'll be back on Thursday or not. No clue what it means for Friday's game against the Caps. Max Domi, in some COVID news, has been away from the club since October 31st. If you remember, the Blue Jackets played the Devils in New Jersey. He tested positive after that game and ended up stuck in New York, forced to quarantine. Now, at last check, he's back in Columbus. I think this was Tuesday was their last update. He's still quarantining, and he still needs to pass some tests, including a cardiac test, before he is cleared to play. So I would say Domi is unlikely this weekend, although I think we've probably all learned wisely to not count him out. He tends to come back earlier than most anticipate. Defenseman Adam Boqvist has been out of the lineup since the Blue Jackets played in Carolina, which seems like it was a year and a half ago. It was actually only October 23rd. He hasn't played since, though. He's missed five games, and it's a lower body injury. It looks like he's moving really, really well. Interesting comments from Brad Larsen earlier this week, though, that Boqvist doesn't just come back into the lineup immediately when he is healthy, that he may have to wait his turn. He loves the way Gavin Bayreuther is playing. We'll see how this goes. We'll get a better sense of the lineup, of Friday's lineup in Thursday's practice. But for right now, it sure looks like Boqvist is close to coming back. We'll see what happens when he does. So let's get into this Oliver Bjorkstrand interview. He is, I'm always fascinated by this. Oliver is, as you know, you're a Blue Jackets fan if you're listening to this podcast. He's a hell of a talented player. And yet he's one of those guys that I think players gain a new level of respect, coaches as well, when they work with Bjorkstrand closely. We've heard that already from Voracek, heard it from Laine last year, heard it from assistant coach Pascal Vincent. This is a very underrated, maybe underappreciated player, but he's starting to get that attention. So in this interview, we talked, as we said, about how well he's playing, his opportunity under coach Brad Larsen. And you better believe the Olympics for Denmark, it's a big deal for Oliver. He played a huge role in them qualifying. So we'll get into that. And then we'll get into his backstory because it's an interesting one. Grew up in Denmark, of course, made the big leap to the Western Hockey League to play with the Portland Winterhawks, and really exploded in the Western Hockey League. It seems like he's been with the Blue Jackets forever. They drafted him in 2013. And he's become a real, real vital part of this organization. So let's get to that, and we'll talk to you on the other side. All right, joined now by Oliver Bjorkstrand, Blue Jackets forward. Blue Jackets off to a great start this season, as we've said. Oliver, you're off to a great start. 5-8-13 in 10 games. I think your ice time's higher than it's ever been. One of many Blue Jackets off to a great start. Tell me how you're feeling, how the team is feeling, just what the overall vibe is here the first few weeks of the season.
I think, speaking for a team, I think we feel good. Obviously, we've come off to a good start. I feel like we've just been able to play some good hockey pretty consistently. There's been a few games where we hadn't been our best, but overall we've been really good and playing some good hockey. I think, the reason why we're winning is a lot because we're playing as a team and finding a way together. So it's been a fun start. So I'd like to see that, keep going in that direction. It'd be a lot more fun at least.
Yeah, for sure. You're at 18-21 per game. And you and I have had several conversations through the years. Many times it was about what do you have to do to get more ice time. The production has always been there, honestly. This year, you're second in ice time among Blue Jackets forward, trailing only Mr. Do Everything Boone Jenner. You must be delighted to be exhausted after games.
Yeah. I think any player never really complains about ice time. And obviously gives you more of an opportunity to help the team out there and show you, everybody what you can do. So it's obviously nice. It's as far as the ice time, it's been a process over years. I've had to gain the trust of obviously Torts for a lot of years. And, that can take some time. And now having Lars as the head coach and him being here throughout my whole NHL career, obviously he knows what type of player I am and what I can do to help the team. So it's, he obviously likes putting me out there, and it's nice getting that reassurance from him that, he wants me to be a big part of the team. So, I can't disappoint him. I just got to keep going and trying to play good hockey. So I keep getting that type of ice time.
Yeah. Before last season started, and last year was so weird, it actually started in January. So this would have been early January. You signed a contract extension with the Blue Jackets, 5 years. That was a really important deal for that team, I felt, at that time, because there's so much uncertainty about who was here, who wanted to be here, who was on the move, who didn't want to be here, yada, yada. Why did you want to stay? Why were you willing to commit so far into the future? What was your, why were you in moved to take that step?
I like the city of Columbus. I like the city here. It's an easy city to live. And I still think that it's there's things to do. It's just a nice city overall. The people are nice. So when you look at the outside of hockey, everything is good here. I think weather could be a little bit better, but but it's all right. But as far as like the team and so on. I mean, I feel comfortable with the organization, the team. And I didn't really feel like I wanted to even really think about what it could be like somewhere else. I mean, sometimes you see guys go to other teams and it doesn't work out. And of course, sometimes it does work out. But for me, I feel like I've taken steps here in the right direction. You know, they've gotten to know me and my character, and, you know, I didn't feel a need to try to, you know, find something that's greater somewhere else. I'm comfortable here, and, I like coming into the rink and just being a part of, this organization. So obviously there was unknowns at the time as far as the future, but, you know, I like it here. And I believe that we would figure something out as far as, you know, getting together a good team for the future. And, you know, right now it's, you know, we're off to a good start. It's obviously just the beginning of something, but, you know, I like what we have, and, you know, looking at it now, I'm obviously happy with my decision. So, still happy about it.
Yeah, that's great. One thing coming up on the horizon for you, I know you're worried about the task at hand, Blue Jackets versus Washington Friday. You guys have had quite a light schedule. It's going to pick up in a very big way. There aren't too many back-to-back days off between now and the end of January, so buckle up. But one thing that's on the horizon for you that I think is really interesting is playing for Denmark at the 22 Olympics. And this is the first time Denmark has qualified for the men's Olympic hockey main pool, correct?
Yeah, the first time. So, yeah.
So, I mean, wow, right? Like, is that the word?
Yeah, no, I think every hockey person in Denmark is super excited about us having a chance to compete in the Olympics. You know, we're just excited to be there. And obviously we're going to, you know, do our best to, you know, put together a good tournament. But for us, it's just the first step of being involved in a tournament like that and get to experience that and represent Denmark in the Olympics with hockey. So, as a country, we're super excited about it. And, we know it's not going to be easy. Obviously we played in world championships for a lot of times. And, you know, we play some good teams, but it's not going to compare to, you know, the rosters we'll see at the Olympics. It's the best teams, you know, nations put together, and we're aware of that, but, being a part of that and just having a chance to compete there is going to be, just a great experience. And, we couldn't be more excited about it.
And you're in Group B with Russia, Czech Republic, Switzerland. You've got some teammates that are going to be in that group with you. You're going to face. How weird is that going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be an experience for sure. But I don't know. Once you get out there, I don't pay attention too much to that stuff. But it'll be fun. I mean, I like being competitive against guys, you know, hopefully getting bragging rights. So we'll see. I mean, we're going to be the underdog, so we have nothing to lose. So pressure's on them.
Yeah, yeah. 17 skaters from Denmark have played in the NHL, the history of the NHL. 8 of them currently. What's the state of hockey Denmark, and how big could something like this be? Just a seat at the Olympic table in terms of getting more people, more young guys to consider playing.
Well, it just spreads awareness of hockey. I mean, I think, you know, you need to create headlines, you know, in front of the country and positive things with a sport for it to open up the eyes for young kids and for them to say, hey, I want to play hockey. We still have a ways to go. I mean, hockey's really not that big there. There's, I don't know how many hockey rinks there are, but you have to be kind of fortunate to be in a city where there's a hockey rink. I think we have between 12 and 15, where 11 of them are like pro arenas that are whatever. Okay. So, I mean, there really isn't, you know, that much opportunity for kids to play hockey. So, you know, we need to spread awareness about it. And, you know, making the Olympics is a good way to create a headline and, you know, for kids to open up their eyes. So, you know, now next step for us is to put together a good tournament and have some upsets against some good teams and get the media to talk about it, because, you know, that's what we need. They don't talk that much about it. So it's definitely an area that I wish that they would talk more about. But
yeah. Well, maybe this is it. Just some backstory on you. When you were born in 1995, Oliver, I don't need to tell you that, but you're at the time, your father, Todd Bjorkstrand, was a absolute star in the Danish top league.
Yeah.
100-point seasons. That's obviously your how you got into hockey, but what was it like for you? What was the hockey, sort of the dawn of your hockey playing? Was it just going to the rink with your father and being around it? What opportunities did you have that maybe the typical Dane wouldn't have?
Yeah, I mean, I come from a city where hockey culture and what we had going on at the rink in Herning, where my dad played, was turning into something really good. And that's why you see a lot of the, actually a decent amount of the players that played in NHL or made it to pros in different leagues are from my city. So there's a good hockey culture there to begin with, which my dad helped create there when he got there. But for me, obviously he was, you know, really passionate about hockey. He still is, he's a coach now. But growing up with him in my very young years, him playing obviously got me really into hockey and you know, most of my life really revolved around hockey. So he definitely got me into that. And then once he was done, he was a coach. So, it was always hockey. He got me into it. He taught me everything pretty much I know at the young age. Most of my childhood was hockey, and obviously that's, you know, because of him and how much he was into hockey as well.
Yeah. And you made the leap from Denmark to the Western Hockey League in 12-13 to play with the Portland Winter Hawks. How big of a step did that feel like at the time? How stressful was that? I assume there was not a language barrier. Your English, you grew up in a family that probably spoke both languages?
Yes, we spoke both. Yeah.
Okay. What was that like going? And that's, you're going literally to the other side of the world to play hockey. What was that like when you were 18 years old?
Yeah, it's not an easy step to make. You know, you're moving away from your family and what you're familiar with. The language barrier was easy. It wasn't a problem, but just being away from your family and you know, where you're comfortable, I guess, is always a big step. But for me, I knew at that time that I wanted to pursue hockey, and my dream was to make it to the NHL. And I really wanted to get drafted. And for me, that was just the best step for me to go to the Western Hockey League and play hockey there. There's scouts at every game. You're able to be seen. So if you're good enough, you'll most likely get drafted. Staying in Denmark wouldn't have, you know, you can still get drafted, and it's better now out of Denmark, but you don't see a lot of scouts come there. If a scout comes, it'll be in the newspaper. So it's a big deal. So it just felt like it was a choice I had to make. So I wanted to make that sacrifice.
Was it an easy adjustment, or was it like, you know, what have I gotten myself into here the first couple of weeks before you settled in?
No, once you get there and you settle in with your billet family, and I had a roommate on the team that I lived with as well. Everybody was nice. It was fairly easy. Of course, at times when you're young like that, you miss family and your surroundings at home. But I had a good experience. So for me, it went pretty smoothly. And you spend so much time at the rink anyways and with the guys. So it's not like you had time to really think too much about home. And I knew what my goal was, and that helped me a lot too.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And I love the backstory. It's kind of convoluted. I'll try to be clear about it. For the first several years of the Blue Jackets organization, Bob Strom was the director of pro scouting. Mm-hmm. And there was a turnover here, one GM out. I believe He survived the first. He worked under Scott Housen for a couple of years and then was let go. He ended up working for the Portland Winterhawks, and in his scouting, looking for international talent, a former Blue Jackets scout is who discovered Oliver Bjorkstrand, who then ends up being drafted by the Blue Jackets long after the scout has left the organization. But I know Bob Strum is incredibly proud of you.
Yeah.
I think he sees you as his crown jewel. He also gave you the Maestro nickname, and I wonder how you feel about that nickname. You could easily be the Great Dane. That's the easy one that everybody throws out. Maestro is a hell of a nickname. Do you like it? Is it a burden?
What do you think
about it?
I think it's funny. I like it. I think it's kind of crazy, though, how it's just like kind of faded away, but always kind of comes back. I see it, obviously, mostly I see the mentions on Twitter or anything, but it's kind of like an on and off nickname. But I don't have a problem if that gets bigger. So I like the Maestro. I'm perfectly fine with that.
That's fantastic. Yeah. First pro year, all you do is you go to the American Hockey League and you win the Calder Cup.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good experience to turn in pro.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a great year. You have a lot to learn when you go from juniors to pros. So, that was a really good learning experience for me as far as being a pro and just being on a winning team too. I mean, you can't take it for granted when you're able to be on a team that wins a championship, regardless of what level it's at, because you never know when you're going to win again. So, for me, that was, looking back at it, it was a great year. We had a unbelievable playoff run, and being a part of that and winning a championship for the Monster fans was one of my top experiences in hockey. So I really cherish that.
That's awesome. Now, your first NHL coach, you didn't exactly get to ease your way into an NHL career, Oliver. Your first NHL coach was John Tortorella. Can you prepare for that? Now, he's not the boogeyman that a lot of people make him out to be, for sure. Well, what was that like? What was your level of angst like realizing that he was going to be your first coach, given all that's built up around the man?
I don't know. I thought it was kind of exciting. I mean, he's obviously a big name coach, and he has a strong personality. You've seen him before he became the coach. You've obviously seen his YouTube clips of him getting angry and all the classic stuff. That's all fun. I don't know. I don't think I thought too much about it. More so, I don't know, my dad played college with him in University of Maine for a year. So I thought it was kind of funny that my dad, knew him that way. But no, I didn't think too much about it. For me, it was just trying to find a way to make it to the NHL. I knew that obviously you had thoughts in your head that, okay, what's he going to be like? Is he going to freak out and all that stuff? And if you turn it over or whatever, but I don't know, you learn to deal with it. And there was definitely a few times he let you know. So, didn't think too much about it.
Yeah. Now, you've always spoken highly about him and how much you learned from him, but also from Artemi Panarin. I wrote about this just a couple weeks ago, but just for the people who maybe didn't read that but are listening now, you looked at Artemi Panarin. I get this. It's not that you guys didn't get along. You just weren't super close as teammates. Nothing wrong with that. It just is what it is. But you learned a ton from him just watching him play a guy your size, playing a style that you figured you – should work hard to emulate. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was just also a combination of Torts, like telling me to look at him with his compete level, and how he was always competing out there and wanting to win the puck. So, it was just an easy comparison for me to kind of, look at the time he was playing really good hockey. I was trying to find my way, in the lineup. Those years I was always kind of like up and down with ice time and this and that. So, towards wanting me to look at him as far as how hard he competes in battles and how he wins his battles and all that. So I think that those are the main things that I was trying to watch him with and learn from. So as far as the skill level and all that stuff, I think we're different players. So it's hard to really copy that. He's a little bit of a different player than I am as far as that. But the way he competed out there was a good comparison for me to look at. Since we're kind of same height and weight and stuff like that. So, that definitely helped me out. But throughout the years, I mean, I've tried to pick up things from a lot of different players as far as, what can make me a better player and what it takes to be a good NHL player.
Yeah, yeah. Oliver, last year was your first full season where you did not experience the playoffs. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Was that tough? I mean, of course it's tough, but how difficult was it to get used to when you're just used to having that at the end of every year?
Yeah. I mean, I was fortunate to be, you know, coming in a team in Columbus here when they started, you know, creating something well and made the playoffs and so on. So I was fortunate to be on, you know, a team that was always fighting for a playoff spot and right there and making it. So last year was a good reminder of how much it sucks to not make playoffs and, you know, how much less fun it is not or playing hockey when you're not competing for a playoff spot. So it was, it was a good reminder of why you work hard in the summers and why you want to, you know, have a team that competes for the playoffs and makes the playoffs because it's just that much more fun playing hockey.
Yeah. We're talking with Blue Jackets forward Oliver Bjorkstrand. Back to the here and now. What is the difference with you guys on the power play? It feels like there's a different vibe. I know there's different personnel in different places, different system a little bit maybe, but what's going on with that and why this sort of air of excitement around it?
Well, I think we, it just seems like a little bit of a new way we're approaching it. We've obviously stick with the same line now, the power play line since the end of camp. So I think that can help us out, you know, with kind of knowing how we all move on the ice and so on. I think that helps. I think bringing Passy in and him coming in with some new ideas and communicating different things to power play has helped them. And then obviously I think getting Voracek on the team, him being on a, you know, have a lot of experience on being on a great power play in Philadelphia and him just coming in, kind of being the quarterback, you know, and being able to set it up and so on. So I just think it's, I don't know. We've just clicked a little bit better with the unit. And I think I just think those pieces have just kind of opened up something new here. And I'm obviously hoping we can keep on, you know, performing out there. That's the key. It's still early.
For sure. It's still early in all ways. You're 7-3-0. I think it's safe to say you're one of the surprise teams in the NHL to many people. The big question is, can you guys keep it going? What are your thoughts on that? Is this start to this season emblematic of something? Is this a hot streak? Is there any reason you can't keep it going?
I mean, there's no reason we can't keep it going. I think we're pretty clear about what it's going to take for us to keep going in this direction. I just think it's going to be every man buying into their role and doing their job. I think for us to win, we have to play as a team. We have to compete hard like we have been in the games we've won. I don't think we're a team that, you know, can have too many off nights and end up scoring a ton of goals and getting away with a win. I think it's going to take hard work. So, yeah, that's kind of up to us. But, you know, there's no reason we can't do it. But at the same time, you know, we can't sit back and just relax. We gotta keep going. I don't know. I think it's pretty simple. It's got to be a team effort here. So
yeah, we've got to finish up here with a few questions from readers. I'm saving the best ones for last year. We just have a few. Who was your favorite player growing up? Wonders Jason Scope, Cincy Jackets FA1. Favorite player growing up.
I get that question a lot. I never really know who to say. I mean, I feel like I bounce all over the place when I get that question, but I don't know. Early years, I think I used to watch Minnesota Wild. My dad's from Minnesota, so I was a little bit of a Wild fan. So in the early years, maybe Marin Gaborik. I always liked Mikko Koivu. I don't know if he was my favorite player, but I was just a Minnesota fan, so I tended to kind of gravitate towards players from there. I don't know. You have players like Jágr.
Sure.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the early years, it was always not necessarily that they were my favorite players, but it's always fun to watch when Crosby and Ovechkin got into the league, just that kind of two young guys coming in and just being studs from the beginning. So,
right.
Yeah.
This one from Madigan O'Brien, at Madigan O'Brien. Is there an energy difference in the room this season compared to last?
I think the fact that we got a lot of new pieces in, we have a young team, guys wanting to prove themselves. I think, there's, you know, a good energy this year. So, I feel it. And I think that's a part of our success here early on. So, definitely feel a good, energy.
This one is from Optimistic Jackets fan. You got to respect that, at Merlin Merles. And he wonders, who is the hardest player to play against? One goalie, one forward, one defenseman.
Okay.
That's a good question.
I don't know. Goalie. I don't know. For me, the hardest goalie to play against is my fellow countryman, Frederik Andersen. I haven't scored on him yet. So,
Is that right?
Yeah. So I gotta get a goal on him this year. So I think he always plays well, at least against me. So for me, that's the hardest goalie to play against. Defenseman, there's a few, but I mean, I think Hedman is probably one of the hardest ones to play against. He's just a good skater. He's big.
So big.
And just sees the ice well. So he knows what you're doing out there. So that makes it difficult. As far as hardest player to play against, I think, I don't know. I mean, I know last year maybe he got shut down a little bit in the playoffs. But I think when you play McDavid, I just think there's so much attention on him. And he's so fast and so on. So I think. For me, I kind of look to him that's hard to defend sometimes if he's on his game. So I pick him.
Yeah, good answers. This from John Poston at CBJ Post. How is it that you have virtually no accent of all the Scandinavian players? I think Gustav Nyquist kind of falls in this too.
Yeah.
But you don't have a discernible accent. Someone wouldn't listen to you and say, he is from Denmark.
Yeah. Well, that's what we talked about earlier. My dad's. I'm dual citizenship. My dad's American. He knows Danish, but he spoke English with me from when I was born. So that kind of helped me a little bit. But you'll hear me slip up a few times here and there. You'll hear that I'm from Europe, so I'm not perfect in speaking. But I am aware that it's pretty close to American accent. So
it's pretty impressive. Yes. Yeah, not that it's necessarily a good thing, but it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
This from M at Possum Pal, and this is our last question. M says, I am in culinary school and have an international cuisine course this semester. Tragically, we have no Denmark Day, but can you recommend your favorite Danish dish?
Oh, favorite Danish dish.
And I'm going to write this down, too.
My favorite Danish dish is probably what we get for Christmas. So we get, it's a long one. So we get duck for Christmas. So this is my grandma who prepared for me. So she makes it really good. We'll do the duck. Then we'll do a pork. It's a different type of pork. So I don't know what cut it is. It's not a cut you would necessarily get in the States, but it's pork. Then we get, this normal yellow potatoes and then we also make small potatoes where it's coated in basically sugar. So they're really sweet. So you wouldn't
okay.
too many. And then we get like brown sauce on it. And then there'll be some vegetables and stuff. But that's like my classic Danish Christmas dinner meal that I really enjoy having every year.
And does this meal have a name? Like a name that encompasses the whole of it?
Okay. Yeah, Christmas. I think it's just that's what probably is the most common thing to get in Denmark for Christmas, I think.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hey, Oliver, thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. No, thanks. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah. Well, I think we learned a lot today. Appreciate your time as always.
Yeah.
And I'll see you over at the rink here.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks bud. Well, thanks to Oliver Bjorkstrand for his time. Hope you enjoyed that interview. I did. Oliver's, as you can tell, quite a humble and honest kid. And he's really starting to emerge in this league. I thank him for his time. Thank you for your questions. Those always help the interview. It's always good to know what you are wanting to know about these guys. So we'll keep going. We'll talk to you on next week, Wednesday or Thursday. Thanks for listening to Front and Nationwide. Have great weeks. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.